high right now. We ask you to invade our lives. We ask you to invade our hearts, even in this moment. You are the Alpha, the Omega, the one living true God. Everything in the universe was created through you and for you. Forgive us for coming up short this week. Forgive us for the sin in our lives. Lord, we believe in you. Help us in our unbelief. Help us to be more like your Son. Help us to be willing to step with the Holy Spirit into a world that needs you, that needs to be brought light into their darkness. Father, help us to have the courage to do so. We thank you for your generosity, your grace, your mercy in our lives. May we never trivialize it. Lord, we thank you. We praise you in your name. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. I'm glad you're here. Today's one of those days. You ever have one of those days where you wake up and you just try to get started and you just can't get started? Lots of things can cause a distraction on a Sunday morning, can't they? Lots of things. Hey, look, it happens to us pastors too. Like, lost my Bible. I've been looking for my Bible all week. It's thrown me off all week. I finally found it. Where? Sitting on the sound booth. You want to help the sound guys out, stop leaving stuff on the sound booth. Left it up there. But you know, I think part of that is because preparing for this sermon this week, I started fervently praying for y'all. Like fervently. That's when Satan hates it, right? That's when he hates it. That's when you come up against something. That's when you come up against opposition. And then it seems like he'll throw every single last distraction at you. So whatever it is in your heart this morning, in your mind, whatever it is, set it aside. Set it aside for another 30 minutes. Whatever it is can wait. Focus our attention on Christ. I've put up our scriptures there this week. I know some of you aren't Bible scholars and you're like, where is that? I'll give you the books around it just to help. Hey, man, every little bit helps. Hey, man, the Bible doesn't start at Genesis. It starts at the table of contents. We're in Colossians 3 today. And I'd like to read our scripture here this morning. So I'll wait till you get there. Just know that, yeah, there's going to be a point where I'm going to ask you to write something. So if you've got a pen or something handy, you know me. The teacher in me can't get away without giving you homework. So. And here we go. Colossians 3, 9 through 17. Do not lie to one another. Yes, I get to start a sermon off by starting off with do not lie to one another. We've got nowhere to go but up, people. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Colossians is a book, again, to help us understand the mystery of God, right? We went over this a couple weeks ago. That mystery of God is Christ in you. Christ in me. Have you reflected on that at all? Christ lives in me. When you say it that way, there's a certain amount of weight to that, right? But his burden is light. But we have responsibility. It's the same Christ in chapter 1, verses 15 through 20, that we learn that Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, in whom all things were created, both in the heavens and the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, in whom all things have been created through him and for him, who is before all things and in whom all things hold together. I mean, do things seem to be getting out of control in your life in the moment? It's not under your control. He holds them together. Christ, who is also the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Everything. That includes your life and mine. He will have first place. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, this is God's mystery, that Christ is alive in you. All that power, all that authority, it's in you. And Colossians is a book to help us start to wrap our minds around how to live in the light of the living light within you. I'm going to say that again because I confused even myself when I wrote it. Help us wrap our minds around how to live in the light of the light that lives within ourselves. We have a light and a hope. We are meant to be an inspiration. Gary's lesson from last week, let's understand I'm a teacher first and foremost, and I will review. What did we learn last week? We need to have the right compass, right? Set your mind on things above, on the righteousness. Stop looking behind. Have the right captain. Why? Because we are dead to sin. We are hidden in him. Correct? And then we have the right cargo. Start pitching sin overboard. When we start pitching sin overboard, what does that do? That creates room in the cargo hold, doesn't it? We got space to fill. I don't know about you, but I am a space filler. Give me a blank table or a cubby and I will find a pile for that hole. And those of us who are pilers know that piles aren't necessarily a good thing. Because as we learned in middle school science, nature abhors a vacuum. We are human beings. even if we do the good deed of trying to deal with sin and getting it out of our lives, we're going to create a hole in our heart that is meant to have something in it. And we are human beings, and we will find anything to fill it with, won't we? Oh, man, oh, I'm going to stick this in there. Oh, this will take its place. No, righteousness. We should seek out opportunities to fill it with the things of righteousness. That's the efforts we're supposed to bring to the process of sanctification. It's a big churchy word, sanctification. We'll go over its meaning here in just a little bit. But understand, we have a responsibility to be actively engaged in our faith. We need Christians to be Christians. Remember that one? That was also from last week's lesson from Camus. We need Christians to be Christians. I mean, we just saw a great example, didn't we? A father and daughter proclaiming, this is it. From here on out, I'm publicly saying you can look to me as an example. You're looking to me as an inspiration. Why? Because I have a hope inside me, a hope that's worth sharing. Because here's the deal. If we look to Christ to gain those things of righteousness to put into our cargo hold that we have now made a little emptier, guess what? He'll keep giving it. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be satisfied. I want you to be satisfied in Christ this morning. And that's the beautiful thing about it. He'll keep on giving it. He'll keep on giving it. There's always more room. It's sort of like ice cream. There's always room for ice cream. It's only when we start looking to fill that void with other stuff that it becomes an ugly game of Tetris. Look to the opportunities to be storing up things of righteousness in increasing measure in your lives. That's what I really want for you. That's what I've been praying about. That's why Satan's been after me in this service this morning. Chapter 3, verse 9 started off, do not lie to one another. What's he talking about? He's talking about your salvation. Hey, I'm a Christian. But you're doing the things that a Christian wouldn't do. Don't lie to one another. It's not worth it. And then it says, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and you've put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek, Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, Barbarian, etc. Verse 12, so as those who have been chosen by God, who are beloved, put on a heart of compassion. And then further on he says, you should, verse 14, beyond all these things, put on love. I want to talk about this laying aside and putting on. Think of it's the idea of clothing. We've laid aside the old self. In saying yes to Jesus, we've gone, nope, I got to take off these filthy clothes, and I got to turn them in for some robes that eventually will become eternal, right? And this put on, you've put on the new self. That's that one moment, salvation. Bam! You can count on that. Those clothes are new and good and will last. You don't have to worry about taking those off ever again. And then he says what? To continue putting on. He then gives you a list, right? He gives you a list. These are the things we should be actively seeking to add to our lives. I mean, it's sort of like, I'm here in the baptismal pool. I put on the new self, raised to walk in newness and life. And if I really wanted to emphasize my point this morning, I would have put on this attire right over the wet clothes. Not that it can add to your salvation. Not that it can earn anything to make you go to heaven. That's done. I'm walking a very fine line here this morning. I understand that. And I want to be crystal clear. Make no mistake. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross did it for you. But does that mean we continue on sinning? No, may it never be. Does it mean we should hunger and thirst after the characteristics of righteousness? The answer to that is yes. I want you to. I want you to fervently pray. Like, look at Paul. I mean, just take Paul, for example. He prays for these people. Remember, he doesn't know these people. Remember that? I told you that. He doesn't know them. He's never been them, never seen their face. And he's fighting against a heresy, right? Chapter 1, verse 25. Chapter 1, verse 25. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me from your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are at Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all wealth that comes from the full assurance of the understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Man, he's fervently praying for these people. Do you fervently pray for the people you know? I mean, he doesn't even know them. He doesn't even know them. But do we often fervently pray for the people that are closest to us? Or is it more rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, pass the ketchup? Man, I want you to be satisfied with the things of righteousness. There's no distinction. We cannot avoid our responsibilities. Having accepting Christ in our lives, life's going to be a struggle. It's not, growth is not optional. Christ now lives in you, and you must learn how to trust in him. Can you trust in him? See, we look, if I can peel the curtain back on how you write a sermon, just for half a second, we look to inspire you. We look to inspire you on a weekly basis, whether it's Paul, myself, Gary. Because inspiration is a powerful tool when fighting the enemy. Hopefully it makes a dent. Hopefully it makes you want to go out there and conquer for the kingdom. Shake off the dust of complacency. At least do a little something different with your lives every single week. Why? Because Jesus is our ultimate example. He is our ultimate inspiration, isn't he? Because he deals with this list of character qualities with you, with me, on a daily basis. Sometimes more than once. So verse 12 says, so as those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to Him, thanks through Him to God the Father. Let me pull back a curtain for you even a little bit further. This is the moment where most pastors would insert some little anecdote, some sort of funny little story. Maybe I'd poke fun at Tim. Maybe you get some tidbit of history. If Gary were here, he'd probably throw up a map. The more and more I prep this, the more and more I realize that's not what I wanted to do today. Because here's the deal. We can be inspired by just about anything, can't we? As I scan the room and I kind of look out over the audience today, my guess is many of us went to go see a particular movie this weekend. Don't worry, no spoilers are coming. And you may have gotten inspired. I could probably further reasonably assume at some point this past week, in your social media feed, someone tried to inspire you with something. Oh, look at that Instagram post. So inspiring. Flick. Stuff in our culture today doesn't truly inspire, because we really have no connection with it. We just catalog it and forget it. It doesn't impact. It doesn't make a dent. So this morning, instead of giving you some story or some missionary somebody, or I would rather you think on someone that you actually know, flesh and blood. Who inspires you with these character qualities? I mean, I have had the great distinction, pleasure, and privilege of videotaping some of our 40-year folks. Man! I mean, I love them all to death. Some of them really inspire me. If you've never stopped and talked to Don Davidson for half a second, you are missing out. That guy is awesome. Not only because of who he is, but because of how much he cares, how much he loves, how much he is spiritually minded. So I'm going to read this list again, and here's teacher in me, here's your homework. I want you to think of someone who inspires you with that stuff. It doesn't have to be one for every single thing, but come up with a name or three. I mean, think about it. Who in your life inspires you because they are compassionate, kind to a fault, humble, gentle, patient, forbearing? They're willing to set aside some small slight or mistake. Maybe they're forgiving in the face of great adversity. They love. They love like nobody's business. Maybe they're all about the unity of the body, the peace of Christ. They're just super peaceful. Maybe they're just constantly thankful. They talk to you and within 30 seconds, they'll tell you why the Lord has blessed them that day. Maybe the word of Christ just so richly dwells within them, they can't help it. They can't help it. You're standing over the barbecue flipping a burger and they're like, hey, let me tell you what I read today. Mandate coming up. You should go. Maybe they wisely teach. They rightly handle the word. They're not scared to walk a line and help you figure out spirituality or spiritual things. Maybe they know how to admonish. I have had to have several people like that in my life, and I'm glad I still do. They're able to look at me and go, you're kidding me, right? They know how to warmly correct you and walk alongside you and help you along the way. Maybe they just got to have a song on their heart constantly. Maybe in everything they do, they're willing to set aside their own advancement because they want to make sure that they're doing things in the name of Jesus. Did you come up with a name or two? Write them down. Take them to coffee. And talk to them. Thank them. Encourage them. Learn from them. Let them inspire you. They are an inspiration for a reason. Again, our true inspiration is Christ, right? He is the perfect example. I get that. I'm right there with you. Because in a very real sense, he does that entire list with us day in and day out. But see, he lives in us. That's the mystery, right? We got to keep coming back to that every time we open Colossians. It's Christ in you. He is operating in you. And we should be able to reflect those qualities that are being poured out in our own lives into a measure that we can't really even contain. And let the overflow spill out to every single last person around us in word and in deed. We should be the inspiration. Can you be an inspiration? Guess what? You probably are being, and you may not even know it. Continue. Persevere. Gather strength in Christ. Because the process of sanctification is not just a private activity. Your growth in the Lord is not just a private activity. It will certainly be done. The work will happen in bulk, in the quiet reflection and meditation with the Lord, but it's gonna bear fruit. It's got to bear fruit if it's true. It's got to be poured out to other people. Because you are not some ivory tower where hope is kept in a locked box that someone's got to kick the door down and explore just to find out the hope of Jesus. They should be able to know that if they want to know about Jesus and the Lord, they just got to look to you. I know where to go. I know a guy. You ever have people like that? Hey, I need help moving. I know a guy. I need to blow something up. I know a guy. Hopefully, if you need to bury something dead, you don't know a guy. But that's not our hope. Our hope is not supposed to be kept like that. It's not supposed to be kept secret. It's supposed to be that you know a guy. I know a guy. I know a guy who can help you. I have a hope that I'm wanting to share. Matthew 5 says in verse 14, you are the light of the world. Now let me give you some context. That is not Jesus. That is not the capital U. As a matter of fact, It's Jesus speaking. And he's speaking to his disciples. And he's saying, you are the light of the world. Put your seatbelts on. I'm going to pull something awkward. We're going to do something awkward right now. I would like you to say, I am the light of the world. Whoa! Everyone's like, oh my gosh, no, it's church. But it's Jesus in you, right? Jesus in me is the light of the world. I have a hope that is meant to be shared. I have a hope that's meant to inspire people. He says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anybody light a lamp and stick it under a... all those VBS people just went bushel, right? We're going to put it under a bushel. No. We stick it on a lampstand so that it gives light to everybody in the house. I want you to give light to everybody you know. I want you to give it away like it's going out of style. Like you went to the thrift store and you had $100. I want, but it's the most valuable thing you've ever found at a thrift store. Just keep giving it away. Give it away. Because guess what? The source that's given it to you is infinite. He's never going to run out. You're never going to come up short of giving out righteousness to people. Keep giving it away. Be the inspiration for somebody. Let your light shine before men, says Jesus, in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. It's not for you, not for your glorification, it's for His. And that's awesome. It takes all the pressure off. Romans 6 gives us a real clear description about this sanctification process, the righteousness that we should be chasing. I don't have all the time to read all of chapter 6 to you. I would love to. I would even read to you. What I will read to you, though, is verses 15 and following, Romans 6. What then shall we say, because we are not under law but under grace? May it never be. I'll start again. Excuse me. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free to in regard to righteousness. And therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. Verse 22. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification, and the outcome? Eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, praise God. We have a hope. I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you and inspire you. I know I didn't use a silly story or nothing, but I hope I inspired you to be an inspiration. I'm going to close with three things. I understand that some of you might say, but Jason, the Spirit really hasn't moved me to be more patient.
Really?
Come on now. Oh, Jason, you don't understand the boss that I work with. I can't be forbearing with him.
Really?
Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit is always looking for you to see the high standard to which you've accepted into your lives. And that you're always called to be more fruitful, more loving, more patient, more kind, more gracious, more merciful. There's a difference. Always. Always, always. Because blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. You're going to empty the sin out of your life, replace it with righteousness. Chase after it. No, it does not. It's not about your salvation. It's about your sanctification. Be more like Christ. Why pursue? Why persevere in trying to develop these kind of character qualities that the Lord is constantly shooting for? Well, if we look forward to chapter 4, in Colossians it says to conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of opportunity, letting your speech always be with grace as though seasoned with salt so that you will know how you should respond to each person. These things are so that you will be effectual in growing the kingdom of the Lord. Not your own kingdom, not your own name, but His. Which leads me to the last point. You have a hope that is inspiring. Maybe you've forgotten it. Maybe you've allowed it to sit on a shelf too long. You have a hope that is inspiring. Yes, part of that hope is Jesus' enduring work on the cross. His payment for our sin. But it's also powerful today, isn't it? It's also powerful in this moment. And even better, it's powerful for our future. About what tomorrow has to bring. That we celebrate and worship a risen Savior who is going to gloriously return one day. And that's hopeful. So meanwhile, while we're here dealing in the present day, and we can look at present day challenges with hope and grace and peace, and we can inspire those around us because of what happened in the past. But here's the problem. If your hope is only about something that happened in the past, it's difficult to pass on, isn't it? A hope that is entirely bound up in something that's in the past is difficult for someone new to accept. Because they're like the elusive summertime ice cream man. I missed him. I needed a rocket pop. There's a certain element that if it's only in the past, I can't be a part of it. It's already done. But can you turn the mental corner and help people understand that that hope is a living hope? That it lives in you and me? And they have an open invitation right now to have that hope, that power, that authority in their lives, that if they simply die to themselves and live for Christ, they have more freedom than they can ever possibly imagine. More strength, more courage, more hope than they can ever possibly contain. And that it's enduring. That our hope lasts even beyond the grave to an eternal life spent with Jesus in heaven. That's the hope that is in you. That's the hope I hope you inspire others with. That you don't hold it back, but that you pour it out as best you can. And I hope you accept that for yourselves today. I really do. So I've been fervently praying for you this week. That you have a renewed vigor in your hope in Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for an opportunity to preach your word. Lord, I pray that people heard from you this morning and not me. Whatever it is, Father. Thank you for the opportunity that we get to share your hope with those around us. May we make the most of that opportunity. May we have the correct knowledge of how to handle people outside the faith. May we inspire people. May we give them hope, a hope that is eternal. In your name, amen. Go in His grace and His peace, folks. I hope you have a great, great day. Enjoy your Sunday, okay?